Father, I thank you and I praise you with all of my heart. Lord, I know, Lord, that your plans for your people are good. And though, Lord, we may go through trials and tribulations, you never have left us and you'll never forsake us. Though we may at some times forget you and we at some times walk away from you, but Lord, you are faithful. You do not abandon your people, your children, as orphans. You've given us your Holy Spirit and you've seen us through every trial and tribulation. So Lord, I pray that this word that you have put on my heart, Lord, would penetrate deeply into the hearts and the minds of those hearing at this time. Lord, let it lead them, Lord, to holiness and to godliness. And Lord Jesus, rebuke every demonic power that would try to infiltrate this moment. All for your glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The message today is Revelation, the blood of Jesus. You have heard many times, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You've heard Christians say, I plead the blood of Jesus when they're praying over somebody that is sick and things like that. You know, and I would like to speak to you about what that really means, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what was spilled on the cross. The Bible says that no bones were broken, but he was battered beyond human recognition. Why? Because this is God in the flesh coming to redeem what is lost, and that is all of humanity. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have to understand something. The Bible says clearly that without Jesus Christ, you will perish. And so when we all close our eyes and enter into eternity, and we will do one day, you have to be right about Jesus. You know, either Jesus is a liar, a lunatic, or Jesus was telling the truth. And he said of himself that he says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him alone. And so I believe that Jesus is the truth. I believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. He manifested himself. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh. And so only God could save what was lost. God created this world. God did not bring sin into this world, but God is able to do something about the sin that came into this world. And that is what he did through his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. And so the blood that he spilled on that cross was for all who would come to repentance of sins and to look to him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ died and was raised from the dead physically, the Bible says you will be saved. Because in believing that, you're believing in the ministry of Jesus Christ when he says, repent of your sins. You're believing in the ministry of John the Baptist when he came. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the great prophet who was to come, and he came before Christ and he made a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, repent of your sins. And that is still what the church must preach today. That is still, because that is still the problem with humanity today. And what is it? Sin. That is still the problem today. And that is why the gospel is for the end of this age. Repent of your sins. Now, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you may not have seen him physically. You may never heard of his voice audibly. But you just know, as you can see the wind, you see the effects of the wind, but you cannot see the wind. But that's faith. You believe in things unseen, but you see the effects of the wind. It moves in the trees. It moves in the flowers. It comes upon your face and hits you in the face, that strong wind. How much more the things of God? You know, we believe God because we see the effects of God in the lives of his people. And you are the evidence of the existence of God, church. And so when we understand the power of the blood of Jesus Christ in which he spilled, he broke the stronghold of Satan. Because up until that point, Satan was a stronghold in everyone's life. We had no fighting chance. But Jesus changed all of that. On the cross It says here that it is where he shed his blood, and which gives Jesus the right to judge the world, and not only to judge the world, but to save the people of the world. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn, but to save. Amen? Amen. Look at Colossians 1, 19 through 20. Let me read you some scriptures that deal with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1, 19 through 20, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." This is talking about Jesus. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." We have peace in our life because he shed his blood. Amen? Amen. Amen. Either you're going to shed your blood and pay for your sins with your own blood, or you turn to Jesus and the blood he shed for the sins of the world, let him be that blood offering, sacrifice that God has freely given to you if you accept it. Some people could say, this sounds like a video game. This sounds like a fairy tale. Look at the effects of sin in the world. My friend, this is very real. Sin is real. And God is good, and he has done something about this. And he will honor your free will. Ephesians 1, 7 says this, "In him," that is in Jesus, "we have redemption," what? "Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And how rich is God? How rich is God in his grace? God is, he's given you something that you don't deserve. He's taken something away from you that you do deserve. He's given you his presence. He's given you his power. He's given you eternal life in his presence for eternity. Amen? And so, through the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. Through the blood of Jesus, we are restored into a relationship with Almighty God. Amen. Ephesians 2:13 says this, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Before our relationship with Jesus Christ, we were lost physically, spiritually. We were depressed. We were in fear. We had anxiety. We had lust. We had perversion. You can name it. We were drunkenness. We were caught up in idolatry. So many types of strongholds out there. But when you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, amen, you were brought near by his blood. And oh, that is what his blood can do. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The power of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, it's the testimony of what he did on the cross. To crucify the kingdom of Satan. To push back the gates of hell. That you can have a relationship with God. And in Revelation 1:5-7, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him," to Jesus, "who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him," Jesus, "be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so," amen. This is saying that as Christians, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are not only children of God, but we are kings. We are priests because we have royal blood running through us. Amen. We all have brothers and sisters in this world because of our earthly fathers. But when we're reborn again, amen, when we're reborn again, we're adopted into the family of God. And now we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus in us. We're in the family of God. We're of the lineage of Jesus Christ now. That all that was in the past has been washed away. Behold, God says, "I make all things new." Not only in your relationship now with Christ, but even when we get to heaven, when we get to glory, we are going to see. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, nor ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him." We cannot understand living in a world where there's no pain, no more mourning, no more crying, no more tears, no more suffering, no more having to pay bills. A lot of y'all say amen. Amen? Not having to look for water, not having to look for food, because in your glorified body, when we all get home one day, when all is said and done, when the books are opened and the dead will be judged, if they were in Christ, if they were out of Christ, and all things are done, when Satan, when the Antichrist, when the false prophet, when all who loved wickedness and evil, when they're all cast into that lake of fire, and all who had the mark of Jesus on their hearts, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when they get to heaven, when all is said and done, we cannot understand what kind of life that would be for eternity. I had a family member tell me one day, "Michael, I don't want to go to heaven because it's going to be boring. You're going to be plucking a harp, sitting on a cloud for eternity. That's not my thing, man." And I'm like, that's not what heaven is all about. I want to be where the girls are. I want to be where the drinking is, where the smoking is. I want to be where the good music's at and the dancing. I'll tell you what, if I got to go to hell, you know what? I'm going to make it worse because I'm going to make that devil suffer. Look at the arrogance. People don't understand what they're saying. And that's why on the cross, Jesus, as he was shedding his blood, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." That is how well Satan has deceived so many people in the world today, that this God is not real. Look at the complexity of life. Look at the structure of this world. Though we're living in a sin-fallen world, you can still see the original design by God to a certain degree. That this did not just happen in the Big Bang Theory. There was a creator in this. You were created in the wombs of your mother by God. And that is why the world... And look, I see the world today, it's filled with evil, and if that world hates the Bible and Jesus Christ, then I know God really exists. Y'all have heard me say that many times, because I don't want to have anything what the world has to offer. Now, I'm not talking about going on a nice vacation, you know, working, paying your bills, and having fun with your family. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the greed and the stuff that drives you away from Jesus Christ. The idolatry, the love of things that have nothing to do with God. Look, it's the blood of Jesus that brings you to him and keeps you. Amen? And the Lord says that there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the earth. Why? Because he is already busy saving what can be saved. Now I want to talk to you about the power of the blood again. In the future, the Apostle John, in our past, the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation. He was on the island of Patmos. Why? He was an old man, as Pastor Jason talked about it on Friday night. The Apostle John was the last apostle alive. The rest of them had been killed for their faith in Christ. John is an old man. Some say maybe 80, 90 years old. He had been hot wax, hot boiled on his skin to try and kill him, but he didn't die. They didn't know what to do with this apostle, so they put him on a prison in an island in the middle of nowhere, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to visit him to write the last book of the Bible. And he writes with incredible accuracy the exact details of what will happen at the end of the church age. My friend, we've been in the church age for 2,000 years. We are coming close to the end of the church age. You see, everything is about ages. The Old Testament, the age of Noah, that was an age. The world flooded. That was the end of that age. And then it was the age of the judges, the age of the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, the age of the church. And the church will come to an end, that age. And then the 7-year tribulation, the rule of the final Antichrist, that's another age. And then after that, the millennial reign of Christ on this earth, another age. So the world is not nowhere near close to the end. We're going through ages, and we're about to end the church age, which has been in existence on the earth for 2,000 years. And so that is what we're coming to an end. And so John writes about the church age, the age of the tribulation, and the age of Christ, and the very end when all is said and done. An incredible, incredible book. Here's what John sees in heaven. It says, then one of the elders answered, saying to me, in Revelation 7, 13, he says, who are these, John, who are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And John said to him, sir, you know. So the man said to him, to John, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. He's speaking of the seven-year age that is soon coming. He says, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, they are before the throne of God. Amen. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is the power of the blood. The power of the blood of Jesus that can deliver you right now into the very presence of God for eternity. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the testimony of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, it's what he did on the cross. And it's also what he is doing right now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the blood of Jesus that will deliver you to the very end. Guys, I pray that you're hearing what I'm saying. Because what is about to come upon the face of the entire world, war is coming. World war is coming. Nations will tremble. People will tremble. Governments will fall. Look at what is happening in the financial markets. Overnight, a bank can close. They're saying that we're in the early recession. They're saying all kinds of crazy things. They don't have any idea what's really coming upon the earth. But let me tell you this. All of this will tremble, but the people of Jesus Christ on the earth will stand. They will not have fear. They will not have doubt. Because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Right here, they went through the great tribulation and they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. They had the answer. They had the authority. They had the power. And I'm telling you, you're going to be a light. Even now, you're a light in a dark place. Shine. Let Jesus shine through you. There are many that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is serious about this. Amen. Let all that you are about be about Jesus. And you'll have the favor of God. And Christians, we need the favor of God because look at what is out there in the world. These people were gathered before the Lord, a great multitude of them, because they washed their robes. What does that robe symbolize? Meaning your life, your testimony, what you believed in, what you did, everything, everything about you. It had the testimony of the cross, the blood of Jesus. In Revelation 6, 10 through 11, John writes, in the future, even our future, at the opening of the fifth seal, it said, John sees something in heaven. It says, and they cried with a loud voice in heaven. It says, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servant Christians and their brothers who would be killed as they were was completed. There is a great persecution coming against the church in the very near future. It's been going on for years, yes, throughout the world. But I believe some of the greatest persecution yet to come will happen in the United States of America. It's brewing. It's brewing. And it's going to come. While so many Christians are focused on living for today, living their best day now, their best life now, focusing on the wrong things, this should be the time to understand how our brothers and sisters, our spiritual ancestors, how the church was birthed. The early church was birthed in persecution. It was birthed in blood. The Romans were brutal. God allowed his son to come at the time the Romans ruled the earth because they were experts in torture. And today, it's no different. You can see the cartels in Mexico. Some of the most brutalist people on the face of the earth. Even Islamic terrorists have sent their foot soldiers to learn how to torture from Mexican cartels. This is fact. This is facts. People today know how to torture beyond human understanding. And this is going to be all directed eventually to the church. There is a cry in heaven of believers who have gone on to be with heaven, John says, and they're going to cry and say, "How long, Jesus, until you judge the earth?" You see, it's funny because there's a lot of Christians on the earth now saying, "Oh, you can't judge me. You know, oh, we're not a judgmental church." But yet, the Christians in heaven are saying, "How long, Jesus, till you judge the earth?" You see the stark difference between the believers of heaven, in heaven now, who've gone on to be with the Lord, and the so-called believers on the earth. I've seen so many Christians. I've had Christians tell me, "Michael, you're too harsh. You should just speak encouraging things." I'm like, "Oh, I believe I speak the Bible. The Bible is encouraging. Amen. You just want your ears tickled. If your house is on fire, do you want me to just gently knock on your door and say, excuse me, buddy, you might want to get out. I think I see a little fire going on." Or do you want me to bang on that door, kick the door down, and try and get you out of there? The Bible says they'll call good evil and evil good in the last days. Now in Revelation 8:7, because the world has refused the blood of Jesus, God, in turn, during the times of judgment, which are coming, God will require the blood of the world to pay for their own sins. Watch this. In Revelation 8, the next scriptures I want to read to you are dealing with what happens in the age of tribulation, which is coming. It says, "And the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." Revelation 8:8 through 9. "Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." Revelation 16. "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea." This is another judgment, the bowl of wrath. "And it became blood as of a dead man. And every living creature in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood." You see, the first two scriptures I read were the trumpets of God. They sounded their trumpet. You see, you have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of God's wrath. And I'm under the opinion that of these 21 events, they happen in order. Seals, trumpets, and the bowl of God's wrath. And they happen gradually. They gradually become worse and worse and worse. Because if you look at the first trumpet and the second trumpet, only the third of the sea is turned blood into blood, and only the third of the animals in the sea die. But when you look at Revelation 16, when the bowl of God's wrath is poured out with the second angel, it says everything dies. Everything in the sea dies. So they're not the same events. Because when the trumpet is blown, the second trumpet, only a third of the sea creatures die. But later on, when the second angel pours out the bowl of wrath, all the animals are dead. Everything in the sea dies, and every river and spring on the face of the earth becomes blood. Again, let's read this again, Revelation 8:7. It's in order. It's so important. It says, "The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the sea, and a third," see that? "A third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." All the grass was burned, but only a third of the trees in the world. In Revelation 8 through 9, "The second angel sounded the trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea," not all of it, you see, "became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed." It was gradually. Now here, it's in fullness. Revelation 16. Then the second angel poured out. It was the bowl of God's wrath on the sea, and it became as blood as dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. It's the whole world. You will not be able to have water to drink, period. Why? Jesus says, I am the water of life. Come to me. Come to me. I will quench your thirst. That's been the invitation for the past 2,000 years. And I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about spiritually. Jesus says, come to me and I will quench your thirst. But you see, these people did not want to meet Jesus. They were focused on the physical. And therefore, God says, then I'll meet you in the physical. I'm going to take away the waters of the world. I'm going to turn it to blood. And now I'm demanding payment for sin. And it requires your blood because you rejected the blood of my son. In these scriptures I'm about to read, it speaks of Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. The Bible says that she is a great city on the earth. But in this great city, the whole world flows through this great city. What city in the world could that be today? Well, if it was to be today, if these things were to come to pass today, one of the cities at the top of the list could be New York City. The financial market, the United Nations are there, all arts, media, you know, entertainment, money, all religions are represented in New York City, by the way, believe it or not. Google it. There are more religions represented in that city than any city in the world. So New York City is symbolic of being the center of the world. See, Jerusalem is the center of the world in God's eyes. But in the eyes of the world, that could be New York City. The Bible says here, what we're about to read is that this place, Mystery Babylon, the harlot, that it is filled with violence, it is filled with sin. Revelation 17:6 says this. It says, I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. See, John is saying that he saw this great city, because when you read it in its context, because it's for time's sake, okay? Read these chapters in their context and you'll see what I'm talking about. But in its context, Revelation 17 is given the indication that this woman who's drunk with the blood of the saints, that this is the mystery harlot, Babylon. You remember in the book of Genesis when God tells Noah and his sons to go out and fill the earth, spread out, fill the earth. The Bible says that they did not do that, that they stayed right there as they came out of the ark. They stayed there. They did not want to go anywhere. They had one language. Now watch this. They had one language. They were, and therefore with one language, they had one purpose, to build a tower to heaven to say, wow, look at what we have done. And by hearing this and reading this, they're defying God, because God said, spread out, fill the earth. They refused. There was a man by the name of Nimrod, says the book of Genesis, and he was the great leader of this city. The Bible says that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Translated into Greek, he was a hunter of men. He was a murderer. And Jewish historians have written that Nimrod was a man who believed in having sex with everybody, even his own mother and his own sisters. Perverted beyond understanding. Are we in that type of society today? Yes, we are. Now, they said, we are going to build a tower that will reach heaven. And the Bible says that God looked down and said, ah, look what they're doing. And the Bible says that the Lord struck the Tower of Babel and therefore gave them many different languages. And then they were forced to spread throughout the world. You see, God wasn't forcing them, but you see, the will of God will always be done. And the will of God was what? To fill the earth. Because in the beginning, when he made Adam and Eve, he told Adam, fill the earth. Amen? God's will still be done. Even though sin came into the world, God is still going to accomplish his will. And through his will, he works through all the injustices and the sin and the murder that has happened in the world. People say, where is God? Where is God? He's working through it all. And in the end, you'll see he never abandoned you, but many abandoned him. So therefore, it's so important to understand the Bible, because the Bible will reveal to you, to a certain degree, the will of God. They all got different languages. They spread throughout the world. But that was known as Babel, meaning the first city, Babylon, meaning confusion. Are we in a time of confusion today? Yes, we are. And you see, the spirit of Antichrist was moving in that day in the Tower of Babel, because they wanted to be one people with one purpose and one thought. Now, just look at America alone. As a matter of fact, look at the nations. With wokeism, with all of this that's going on, the people of the world are wanting to have one. It's that spirit of Antichrist, wanting to have nothing to do with God, but yet their agenda is one. We want to have just one belief. We are one people. We're family. When the Bible says, no, we're not. 1 John says, you are either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. The book of 1 John says that. And how do we become the child of God? By the blood of Jesus. But that's why the children of the world, of the devil, who are not covered by the blood of Jesus, that's why they have a different mentality, a different thought, because they're of a different household. And we see that in the book of Genesis, and we see that happening today. People are building their own Tower of Babel, meaning their own confusion. They're building their own lives up to glorify themselves. God, look what I can do. Look how far I can get. Look at what these hands have done. Isn't that what King Nebuchadnezzar said in the book of Daniel? He says, look at my kingdom. And what happened? The Bible says that he went as a cow and was 7 years in the field, eating like a cow. Nails grew long, hair grew long, and he finally came to his senses after 7 years living out in the field, and he said, God, it's you who makes all things possible. Amen. King David, the one who is called and anointed by God to be the king of Israel, the great king of Israel, David, while all the kings went off to war, the Bible says, King David stood back in his palace, and at nighttime he was just walking through his palace through the top of the roof and looking down, and he saw a woman. He said, I'll have her. Bring her up to my room. He committed adultery with her. Why? Why? Because he was all of a sudden starting to build up his own kingdom. He forgot that he was called to be a king for God. And confusion temporarily came into the life of David. He repented. God forgave him. But he had to live with the consequences of his sin for the rest of his life. One of his sons raped the sister. His other son killed his other son. And then his other son tried to kill him, and David was on the run for many years. God will forgive you, but you do have to live with the consequences of sin, because God is working through all the mess that we make. And we can't blame God. But when you look today to the spirit of Antichrist, this mystery harlot, Babylon, you look at the city and life is alive. It's buzzing. Ever since COVID, New York City has become just a horrible place. Back in 2015, 16, 17, you know, New York City had really cleaned up. I've been to New York, my wife and I, we've been to New York City several times to visit Times Square Church and the pastors there. And New York City was becoming a place that had really cleaned its act up. There's no perfect city, right? But for a city that big, it really cleaned its act up. Why? Because there were churches there that were praying and praying and praying. But when COVID hit, just like all the other cities, COVID has really destroyed what took so many years to build up in New York City to be a safe place to walk at, even at nighttime in the streets of Times Square. It's like it went backwards all of a sudden. And now, the times are getting worse. All the pornography, all the child pedophilia that's made on videos, it is distributed through markets such big as New York City, throughout all the world. We distribute through New York City everything, the port, everything that goes on. The religion, the United Nations, they meet there. It's incredible when you walk up to that building of the United Nations, you know that that plot of land is not the United States of America. It belongs to the nations. And you are not allowed to get onto that property. And it's crazy because all the leaders, even the ones that hate us, go to that building. John sees this woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, John says, look at Revelation 17:6. John says, I marveled with great amazement. Even the great apostle was amazed by what he saw in our day. And some of us are like this. We're asleep. It doesn't faze us because you're so desensitized by evil. Sin doesn't bother you anymore. You don't mind sin in the movies you go see at Cinemark or wherever you go, Alvin Cinema. It doesn't bother you anymore. It just has a couple of curse words. It's okay. That's the world we live in. The Bible says the opposite. Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is innocent, whatever is worthy of praise, dwell on such things. Revelation 18:24 says this. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints, Christians, and all who were slain on the earth. You see, this system, this world system that which operates through this mystery, harlot, Babylon, it's responsible for all the blood shed in the world. People kill each other for greed, for money, to get ahead. You know, look at this Murdoch guy, this lawyer. Y'all heard about the big law case. He killed his wife and his son, blew their heads off. Sad. I hate that I have to talk like that. It's horrible, but that is what happened. He murdered them because he's caught up in scandal and money, financial troubles. Murdered his own fully grown son and wife. And all we do is just flip through the channels. I've heard that already. Not realizing it's a sign of the end times. Not realizing that that man did that because of the mystery harlot, Babylon. It's the system of the world that controls all things. Look at Revelation 19:1-5. And these things, John says, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has avenged the great harlot, Mystery Babylon, who I've been talking about, who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. There's going to come a day when God will judge the earth. God will judge the injustices, that the murder, the evil that has been going on since Cain and Abel. God is going to judge this. It's going to come. Judgment is coming, and heaven rejoices about the judgment of God. Well, even churches today, let's not talk about that. Let's candy coat our gospel and let's cut the gospel in half because we don't want people to go away. We want to have a full church. The Lord said many years ago, Michael, don't be concerned about a full church. Be concerned about a pure church. And the only thing that can make you pure is the blood of Jesus, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And my two last scriptures, let me read this. Revelation 19:11-16 says this. John says, Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He's talking about Jesus. It says, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. John is seeing the coming of Christ again. He says here in verse 13, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. You hear that? The Word of God. And the armies in heaven, that's the Christians, they were clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and they followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is coming. And you know, the army that comes, that's all the Christians. Because there's going to come a point in time when every Christian will die and leave this earth, whether it be through the rapture of the church, or whether it be at the hands of the Antichrist, or whether Christians that have now died last week will die tomorrow before the rapture happens. All the Christians are going to come with Jesus on white horses. White is symbolic for purity, for holiness. And the sword that comes out of his mouth, because he's the Word of God, he's going to strike the nations down, meaning what Jesus says is final. His word is final. Right now, people can say a blasphemous word against God. People can say whatever they want against God right now. But one day, they will say, not be able to say anything, because Jesus will come and speak, and you will be without excuse. Amen. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. This day is coming. John saw this over 2,000 years ago. He saw this almost 2,000 years ago. He saw this and wrote it because the Spirit gave him vision. And in my last scripture, Revelation 12, 10 through 12, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame the devil, him, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not want love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. For the Christian, they do not love their own life. And see, this is what true Christianity is. Your life is not about you. Your life is about others. Hear that again. What is the life of a true Christian? It's not about you. It's about others. It's how you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. You're the body of Christ. You know God is going to take care of you. Why? Because you have faith. You know God is going to provide every need that you have. Why? Because you have faith. He's a faithful father. And a faithful father speaks to his children. A faithful father meets the needs of his children. Some of you are fathers. If your child said, I'm hungry, Dad, help me. Would you help your child? Absolutely. How much more our Heavenly Father in heaven? He knows everything before you even ask him. But you must ask him, and you must seek, and you must knock, and those doors will be open according to his will. And so the devil is here, the devil is now, but the Bible says what we just read is we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, because we did not love our lives, but we loved him even unto death. Amen. And that is what the Christian life is about. Serving others. Because you're not worried about your life, because you know your needs will be met. You know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Christian. And so therefore, you're not, No. You're mighty. You're a priest of God. You're of royalty. You're a holy nation set apart for the glory of God, called out of darkness and into his marvelous light. This is what true Christianity is about. And so many churches have lost that message. When is the last time you've seen a lot of these churches talk about the blood of Jesus? The blood of the Lamb. Why? Because they don't know the testimony of Jesus. They do not know the ministry of Jesus. That's why. And the world is hungry for this. That's why you see so many people. even this young generation. I was at the mall yesterday, and I see, and I'm not judging people by the way they dress, but I'm looking beyond what they're wearing and looking deep into their hearts. These young people, they're hungry. They want to be noticed. Sadly, they get deceived, and they're wanting to be noticed for the wrong things. But if they were only told the truth, but they don't know anything else. And it's sad because you and I have the message, and we're keeping this Jesus to ourselves. Now you got to hear that. If you call yourself a Christian, when's the last time you led somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if it's been a while, you need the blood of Jesus. Many are called, few are chosen. The Lord says, they who put their hand to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, in dreams, I've seen what is coming on this world. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've heard it in my prayer time. I've heard it. Why? Because God is faithful. The Bible says in Acts 2 that God will pour out His Spirit on His servants, on His children. He will give them visions. He will give them dreams. And I'm telling you what's coming. I'm telling you. Hey, I have peace because I know. I don't care what happens to me in this world. I really don't. I may die warm in my bed sleeping. That's the way all of us want to go. Or I may die a brutal death because of my testimony of Jesus. I have no idea. I would rather die in my bed asleep. But are we prepared? Are we prepared to go through anything that is about to come upon the face of this earth? I'm telling you, we are headed to a day of destruction in this world. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And my job as a pastor, my job, and it's an honor and a privilege, is to speak what the Bible says, and it's to speak how God brings the Bible to life. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Rejoice in all things at all times. Have the joy of the Lord. You ask not because you have not. Ask God for wisdom. Ask Him and believe that He gives it to you abundantly. But don't just ask and then doubt, you know, because then you're like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and you walk away and you forget what you saw. You ever do this? You're like, oh, what time is it? And you do this. Everybody ever do this? What time is it? Okay, it's 11:31. And a minute later, oh, what time is it? Oh, you look again, right? Or somebody will look at their watch, because I don't wear watches, but you look at the watch, and what time is it? Oh, and then again, you look a minute later, why would you look at your watch again? You just looked a little while ago at your watch. You should know what time it is. You forget, that's how easy we forget the things of God. My goodness, we have an incredible opportunity for revival, to win the lost. And it begins with God has always moved with small groups of people, with just one or two or three. Let it be you today. Touch the hem of His garment. Let the blood of Jesus cover your life. And receive